O Comforter and Friend, how we need your touch again. The other day I was having a bad day. Actually, let me take that back. I was having a miserable day. I had a visit that had been scheduled to go to a home of a couple, and I began to wonder, should I even go? I didn't feel I was in the proper mental or emotional state for a visit. So what I did was I said, Spirit, do your thing. You're my helper. You're my advocate. You're my comforter. Please zap me before I go to that visit. And I waited, and I waited, and I waited, and I did not receive a Holy Spirit zap. So I drove over all the way thinking, I've got to be professional. So when the couple asks me, how am I doing? I'm going to answer, I'm fine. Maybe not truthful, but professional. And so I pull in, go in. Sure enough, the couple asked me the question, Pastor John, how are you doing? Before I could stop myself, I said, I'm having a bad day. And then I proceeded to say, actually, let me take that back. I'm having a miserable day. What happened next was quite amazing. This couple said, John, let's pray about it. And over the next few minutes, they offered lots of words of encouragement and support. And I could actually feel this heavy burden being lifted. This is a couple, by the way, that both possess the gift of encouragement. And as they're talking and as we're visiting, I'm feeling refreshed and re-energized, ready to take on the world. And I realized that afternoon that I had received a touch of the Holy Spirit, what we just sang about, but it came in and through a couple that were exercising their spiritual gift. We often experience the Holy Spirit as others are faithfully using the spiritual gift that they have been entrusted with. So let me ask, what is your spiritual gift? Don't overthink about it. What are your top three spiritual gifts? Christian Schwartz of the Natural Church Development Program, a few years ago, they did a survey of 1,600 Christ followers, like many of us. What they discovered in the survey was that 80% of those who responded were not able to identify their spiritual gift. Now, I'm going to be pretty direct with you. I think there's some of you this morning who would say, not a problem. I could give you a very good answer. Some of you would respond, I'm not sure. There's some of you who would go, I have no idea what you're talking about when you use that term spiritual gifts. The other thing that I find intriguing about this survey was that they discovered a correlation between gift orientation, and joy in living. People who are able to say, my ministry involvement involves a good mix and match with my spiritual gifts, were also able to say, I consider myself to be a happy, contented person. My friend and mentor, Bill McRae, a few years ago said, few things are more important for a Christian than knowing what his or her spiritual gift is. I very much agree with Bill in that matter. Faye Klassen gave me a book a few years ago by Charles Stanley called The Spirit-Filled Life. One of Charles Stanley's proposal is that if you are not using your spiritual gift, you are not walking with the Spirit. That got my attention. You're not really experiencing the Holy Spirit if you're not using your spiritual gift. If that doesn't get your attention, I have no other quote that will quite do it in that way. During this series, we've looked at basics. Two Sundays ago, we looked at Pentecost Sunday and surveyed the work of the Holy Spirit. Last Sunday, we looked at the Holy Spirit as he relates to the gospel. And this morning, we're going to be looking at the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts. Next week, you won't want to miss, we're looking at the Holy Spirit as related to guidance and direction in life. It may be one of the most important sermons that we've delivered from this platform. On June the 30th, we have a Q&A session. And if you have any questions or concerns or anything, that will be your opportunity. There is a place at the back where you can submit your questions, and we would strongly encourage you in that regard. Today, as I said, we're going to be looking at spiritual gifts. We're right now laying a foundation, and then I'm going to look at two sections. We're going to be looking at a definition and description of spiritual gifts, and then a final section where we'll be looking at how you discover your gift, how you develop it, and what it means as a church that we are deploying spiritual gifts. I feel this morning kind of like when our family visited the Halifax Citadel. We didn't get there till 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and we were told that it closed at 5. The good thing is the person at the booth said, "I'll let you in for free because you only have an hour." And you should have seen us rush through that place in 1 hour. Now, I feel that pressure this morning. So I need to say to you that if you're looking for a detailed study on the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts, you'll likely be disappointed. I have a few goals. One is to inform you that you would have some understanding of spiritual gifts. I will put more emphasis on being motivational because I really, really want you to discover and use your spiritual gifts. I hope that we stimulate interest in this topic because I really, really believe that we likely need a seminar or a workshop again on spiritual gifts. I think it would be a wonderful fit here at Byron Community Church. And if that's what we accomplish, I'll be happy. Let's continue laying a foundation. What does the Bible have to say about our topic? A whole lot, but let's just key in on a couple of key passages. In 1 Corinthians 12, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good, and all these gifts are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes these gifts to each one just as he determines." 1 Corinthians 12 is a famous passage where Paul compares the local church to a body, and we each portray a part. Maybe you're a leg, maybe you're an arm. I'm not going to suggest who are the armpits here at Byron, but we all can play a role that way. And what Paul really teaches, it's interdependence. We need one another. Just as the knee needs the leg, just as the hand needs the arm, we all are interdependent. We need each other using your spiritual gifts. It doesn't only hurt you when you're not using your spiritual gift. It actually has impact on others. So the other night in the basketball game, when Kevin Durant came back after his injury, he was dealing with a leg injury, likely not fully healed. It was weak. It was compromised. It wasn't fully effective. We shouldn't have been surprised where he ended up tearing his Achilles heel, which is a terrible injury. Again, likely happened because of that connection between the parts of the body. And that's what Paul is wanting to get at in this passage. We have gifts, each has a gift, and it's for our mutual benefit. Let's look at 1 Peter 4:10. Great verse where Peter says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. The two words to key in on, serving one another. That's really what it's about if you're a Christian. I don't read a lot in the Bible about us being spectators. I read a whole lot about us serving one another. And then it's under the umbrella of stewardship. You have been entrusted with a spiritual gift. And this should disturb some of us. You will give an account on how well you use that spiritual gift. Can you imagine standing before a holy God and saying, I didn't have time, or I didn't take the effort to discover my spiritual gift? Or if you have to say, I knew what my gift was, but I just couldn't get around to using it in the local church. It's a matter of stewardship. And then a final passage. This is in Ephesians 4, 7, and 8. But to each one of us, grace has been given. This is a passage, again, related to spiritual gifts. This says Christ apportioned it. This is why it says when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. This is a passage that actually it references back to Psalm 68, where it's talking about the ancient victory parades. Now, tomorrow in Toronto, there will be a massive parade. They're predicting there will be millions of people viewing the Raptors parade. I don't know who's working in Toronto tomorrow, but there will be this great, great parade. Some of you may even watch it on TV. But the idea that Jesus, as he ascends, is giving out gifts. These, in ancient days, would have been the spoils of victory. We could call them the spoils of Calvary. These are gifts that Jesus purchased with his precious blood. They're gifts of great and immense value. I've appreciated some of the gifts that some dads have received this morning. I like your tie, Rick. That looks very nice. And credit to your kids for coming up with that. Last night, Heather and I, a Mother's Day, Father's Day combination, Melissa took us out for the evening, and we saw the movie Aladdin and quite enjoyed it. This morning, I'm wearing this hoodie. This hoodie was a gift to me from Mark at Christmas. And little did I know how significant it would have been back at Christmas time. But you know, there were a couple of times along the way over the last few months, Mark said, Dad, why aren't you wearing that hoodie? Well, the fact was I didn't know where I had put it. That's why I wasn't wearing it. But the second time he asked, I could tell he was really hurt, because he had gone out of his way to buy a special gift. And I've been thinking over the last few days, I wonder how our Lord feels. He died on Calvary to purchase your salvation, forgiveness of sins, and he's equipped you. He's given you gifts that are to be used for your sake, but even in a greater way, for the benefit of the church and for his glory. When you're not using those gifts, I would argue it hurts Christ himself. Here's five things that happen when you don't use your spiritual gifts. I've come up with this little list. You rob the body of Christ, which is a very serious offense. I don't think anyone wants to do that intentionally, but if you're not using your spiritual gift, you're robbing this local church. Number two, you're forcing others to carry your load. Think about that and its implications. Three, I don't know how else to put it, you're dead weight in the body of Christ. Number four, you really are out of touch with the Spirit. And then fifth, and maybe the biggest factor, is you're hurting Jesus himself. So let's quickly define, what do we mean by spiritual gifts? And what is involved with them? I'm going to give you three definitions. Key in on key words. If you need to get these from me afterwards, I'll give them to you, but I want you to key in on a few key words. So a spiritual gift is a divine endowment of a special ability to service upon a member of the body of Christ. Someone else has said it's a special ability distributed by the Holy Spirit to every believer according to God's design for the common good as the local church. And then my friend Bill McRae has said, spiritual gifts are distributed by the ascending Christ to every believer for the profit of others through the Holy Spirit sovereignly, and it occurs at the moment of salvation and on the basis of grace alone. So very quickly, here are some insights and implications. Every believer has at least one spiritual gift. So if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm not speculating, I'm not giving you wishful thinking. If you are a believer, a follower of Christ, you have at least one gift. My guess is you have more than one. I use the term a gift mix, and most of you have a mix of gifts that are to be used for God's glory. Is there a difference between natural and what I'm calling special or supernatural gifts? Long debated, a topic that we could spend the rest of the day looking at. I've observed over the years quite a link between a natural gift and a spiritual gift. A natural gift you receive from God at your birth. A spiritual gift you receive at the time of your conversion. Is there a link? Somebody who has the natural gift of teaching has a spiritual ability to teach. Often there is, but we know there are exceptions as well. The fact is that these are God-given. A spiritual gift, the root word in Greek means the graces or the spirituals, and it's why we see the significance of looking at these as spiritual gifts and gifts on the basis of grace. You've done nothing to deserve these gifts, or these abilities are given on that basis. I do recognize that all of us have general responsibilities. Who is responsible to give? All of us. Who is responsible to encourage? All of us. Who are responsible to show mercy? All of us. But some have a special capacity to serve in this manner, to serve in this way. As I will talk about in detail next week, the Holy Spirit guides and directs us in life. And I believe one of the key ways he guides your life is on the basis of your spiritual gift. And in fact, when somebody asks me, I'm looking for guidance and direction in life, I'm trying to discover God's will, I think the best response is, and what is your spiritual gift? It will give you great clarity in terms of determining direction in your life. And I don't want to be remiss in missing this, but I believe there's a connection between ability and availability. It's one thing for you to go, I know what my spiritual abilities are, but are you available? Are you making yourself available to serve in this manner? Now, you should have received, when you came in, a handout called Spiritual Gifts and Definitions. To go through this would take us a couple of hours. I'm going to take a couple of minutes. What I'd like you to do, I'm going to give you homework. Can you believe that? But I think most of you would like to get out on time as opposed to be here for another 2 hours. So what I'd like you to do is to take this with you, read it through. There's some short and pithy definitions of many, many spiritual gifts. Are these all the spiritual gifts? There's a lot of debate. These are coming from lists provided in Scripture. Some have said these may be samples, there may be more, but I think this gives us a pretty significant listing of spiritual gifts. The first listing in Romans 12 often get called the service gifts. Ephesians 4, these are often called the equipping gifts. Again, I've made a lot of reference today to Bill McRae because Bill kind of wrote the groundbreaking work on spiritual gifts. It's actually in the library on display. Bill loves to tell the story when he arrived at North Park Community Church, that little church in the north end of our city. And when Bill arrived there, in his first month, he got a call from a prominent member of the congregation who said, Bill, I've got something for you to do. I have a client who's interested in the gospel. I'd like to set up a meeting between him and you where you can explain the gospel to him. And Bill said, sorry, I'm not going. This guy was dumbfounded. How could Bill refused such a prominent member in the church. And Bill said, no, I'm going to give you an hour, but what I'm going to do is you and I are going to meet, and I'm going to equip you and train you on how you can share the gospel with this client. And we need to keep that in mind, that there are equipping gifts that are intended to be used kind of like a spiritual coach, training and equipping others to serve. Hey, there's that long list in 1 Corinthians 12 of, some have called them the controversial gifts. You've got what can be labeled foundational gifts. They are confirming gifts. There are those who argue they've ceased. I said last week that, or 2 weeks ago, that I no longer hold that view, although we might say some of these gifts are maybe less frequent today than they were in Bible times. And I would suggest to you, if you've got specific questions about some of the gifts in this area, this would be a great question or two for the Q&A session. Patrick and Rick, our elders, are very eager to have some hard questions. I might ask a question like, so it would appear that there are some gifts on this sheet that we encourage and promote more than others. Like some of the gifts listed in 1 Corinthians 12. Why is that? That would be a really good question. I may put the question in the box myself, because I think that would be a very interesting question. And then there's even other possible gifts that we would, from observation, say have some significance that way. So let's quickly look at my final section, discovering, developing, or deploying gifts. I was very serious when I said some of you need help in this regard. And years ago, we did a program called Network. And if you'll remember Bev Taylor and me, we interviewed lots of people. We still have some of that information on file. I wonder if we maybe should engage in that again. There's been some other initiatives here at the church. There's all kinds of tools out there, the Heights Spiritual Gift Survey. Paul Ford and his ministries have done a lot of work. I would love to see us plan a seminar or a workshop maybe in the fall. Would any of you show up? Okay. And some of you who are not raising your hand go, well, does that mean I have to sign up for something in the future? You're going to be in charge of nursery for the next 30 years. No, we're not going to do that to you. But I think it would be really helpful. The other thing is pray about it. That may sound so simple, but pray that God would give you some guidance and understanding, especially when you go through that list. Because if you go through that list on the handout, ask the question, do I have this gift? Maybe I have it. You know what I find sometimes helpful is to go, who do I know in the church that has it? That's actually a really good thing to do. I would encourage that. And that may even, in fact, motivate you a little bit as well. Look for feedback. Ask people, like, what do you think are my spiritual gifts? And there's a lot of people around, even in this church, who'll give you some answers. I look at a couple of factors. Passion. Like, what are you passionate about? And that's often, for me, a really good indicator of spiritual giftedness. I also look at what I call the gravitation factor. What does that mean? Well, what do you gravitate to? Take me, for example. If I've got an hour and I've got the choice between doing some administration or sermon prep, guess what direction I'm going? And with a bullet. I will do administration because, like everybody, it has to be done. But my passion, my heart is in teaching and getting ready to teach and wrestling with passages. That's where my passion is. So ask yourself, where's your passion? Or maybe this term, where's your sweet spot? Like, where's your sweet spot where you're going, oh, I wish somebody would ask me to help in this area, or I'm just waiting for this opportunity. Where's your sweet spot? So a few weeks ago, do you remember we said farewell to the Murrays, and I pulled together a Saskatoon quiz, and I had these 10 questions, as you'll recall, And I fired off an email to Karsten on a Saturday, and I was feeling very guilty because I already had some stuff to him to make up slides, and I'm going, oh, poor Karsten, me again bugging him. And I came in on Sunday morning quite prepared to be quite apologetic. And I reviewed the stuff that Karsten had put together, and I was just blown away. Graphics that I was not expecting, and just the whole presentation, it was incredible. And my jaw dropped. I go, Karsten. And then he said, I love doing this kind of thing. And Karsten, I won't forget that, especially when I've got other work for you to do. But there's nothing like seeing somebody in their sweet spot. You know it. You know it of yourself. And you know it of others. And I don't think God's going, okay, I'm going to make sure that spiritual gift has nothing to do with that person's personality or passions. I just want them to be miserable. Not at all. The Lord wants to bless you and give you that sense of fulfillment. And the bonus, of course, is helping others and building up the church. So here's a couple of questions you need to ask yourself. What are you good at? That's pretty simple. What are you really passionate about? And here's a good one. Can you think of a time when people told you God used you in their lives? So get that kind of feedback. Somebody say, you know, when you said that or when you did that or when you participated in that area, that was a real blessing. Karsten, I'm going to skip Romans 15. I will tell you, many of you I know will listen to this sermon again on podcast. So if you get a chance, read through, look through Romans 15, 15 to 20. Here's the Apostle Paul, a multi-gifted guy. Like, how do you identify his two or three top gifts? But in Romans 15, 15 to 20, Paul nails it. He talks about apostleship and evangelism in a very specific and a very focused way. And it's not just apostleship and evangelism, it is to a group, it's to the Gentiles. So you might say, my spiritual gift is teaching, you might say that. But you go, the group that I love to teach is children. I love to teach kids in Sunday school or maybe in youth. Or you might say, I have a gift of mercy, but I really love using it with the elderly, the sick and shut in. Or I really love showing mercy to those who are down and out, maybe in a soup kitchen or a ministry that we're connected with those who are maybe downtown or in other areas. So again, do that kind of matching up. Let me quickly mention this. Maybe it's a blessing that we're running out of time because this is a bit controversial. Some of you right now are going, John, you're presenting an ideal, not reality. The fact is, as some have said to me, spiritual gift orientation is a luxury. Maybe if you're in a church of 2,000 people, you can do this kind of thing, but when you're in a church like ours, this may seem like a bit of a luxury, especially those of us who have to recruit people. You know what it's like when you're recruiting people? You're going, I'm just looking for a warm body. Forget this spiritual gift stuff. I just need to make sure somebody's there to fill a spot. Or, like it was when I was growing up, it's everybody takes his turn. I heard some horrendous sermons. I heard some good sermons growing up, but I can remember guys getting up there who could not preach their way through a paper bag, but they were getting up and in 35 minutes were wandering everywhere and you're going, oh, this is painful. Could you imagine in Byron Community Church if we had a roster for mechanical repairs and I was on it? Jordan, don't get any ideas, okay? If my name comes close to being attached to repairs or maintenance, run away. And so that's where I wrestle a little bit. I get the fact it can be challenging, but my appeal would be that we strive to build ministries here at our church that have that gift-orientated approach. Deployment. Let me say something that's going to take some guilt and pressure off some of you and it's going to put a lot of it on others of us. This is what has been said about spiritual gifts by an expert in the area. The role of church leadership Okay, some of you need to duck now, or some of you might go, oh no. The role of church leadership is to help its members identify their gifts and to integrate them into appropriate ministries. Wow. So if you're an elder, if you're a council member, if you have other roles of leadership and influence, I will read this again. The role of church leadership is to help its members identify their gifts and to integrate them into appropriate ministries. I'd like you to stand. I cannot believe that we did this, overview and finished on time. So God is a God of miracles. Some of you are also going, oh, John, you didn't cover this, you didn't cover that. What opportunity do you have? That question box. Fill it up. Put your questions in there. But what I want to close with, just before the worship team comes, is an appeal to you. We need you. You might go, but I'm older, John, or I'm new. I'm a new guy here. I'm not looking at making your life busier. I'm not looking at complicating your life. But before God, say, God, you've directed me to this church. How can I be involved? What can I do? I want the satisfaction and fulfillment that comes from knowing that I'm making a difference in your kingdom. If you're older, we need you. There are ways that you could participate that some who are younger cannot participate. And if you're new to our church, what a blessing. And we don't want to guilt you. We don't want to put you in an area that you are not passionate about. There's an old saying, don't put people on the wrong seat on the bus. We want you to thrive where God has you. So bow your heads. Say, Lord, on this Father's Day, what is it that you have for me? I have responsibilities with my family. I'm a dad. I'm a mom. I'm a husband. I'm a wife. I'm a grandparent. But the local church means a whole lot to our Lord Jesus. When he died on the cross, he was thinking of communities like Byron Community Church. Where can you fit? What can you do? How has he gifted you to further the ministry of this local church? As leaders, we need to do our part. We have the bigger responsibility. And I pray that there will be a sense of cooperation as we work together to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. Father, hear our prayers. Guide us and direct us. We wrestle with busyness. We wrestle with distractions. We sometimes wonder, how can my life make a difference? Thank you for the gifts that you have given us. May we use them faithfully and honorably. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.